Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Welcome back to another episode of Change in Attitude, a 2021 look back at the Attitude Era of the WWF, WWE. I am your host this week, Ori the Draw, and of course joined with me on this crazy, crazy ride is Podfather Mags and the Texas Gentleman, Tanner Pruitt. How are you guys doing today?
Kablam!
Oh, God.
I'm doing,
great.
Yeah.
Tanner is in a better mood this week than he was last week. Last week for Tanner.
So I got to start the show by apologizing because I was in a bad mood last week. For those who don't know, my car broke down and my phone broke on the same weekend. Utterly pissed off most of last weekend. But now
we've watched
I'm okay.
Man City and Liverpool game.
Yeah.
And that changed things right around for you.
Yeah, yeah. Liverpool always tends to cheer me up. And when they perform very well, like they did today, then it makes me happy. And,
I was in on that chat for Radio Techers. The first half was a little slow, a lot of back and forth, but that second half was killer.
Yes.
I never thought I'd be a person who enjoyed soccer. I felt like it would be like, I'm sorry, Mags, football.
Oof,
football.
I'm gonna kick you out of the stream then.
Jeez. But, you know, I felt like it was kind of like watching NASCAR just taking left turns all day. But I really, really enjoyed this game today.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't, Liverpool didn't win. They drew with Manchester City. But it's, when you get two of the best teams on the planet playing against each other, you can expect really fun things to happen. And that's the way it was today. And it was a pleasure having you in that chat.
It was a lot of fun. And Mags, you're doing well as well.
Yeah, thanks. I think.
I was asking.
Mags, you're doing well.
Yeah, okay.
My voice at the end. Are you doing well? I do apologize.
Yeah, I'm doing great. We had a relatively early UFC stream last night. Only started at midnight, so that's pretty early for me, which was great. Loads of brutal knockouts, a cool football game with Tanner and Matt on Radio Tech. Is definitely going to check that out. And then rounding off the weekend with a fun chat about one of the best episodes of Raw we've watched so far. What a great weekend.
It was definitely an interesting show, so let's go ahead and hop into it. We start off the show with a really big Stone Cold Steve Austin video package promo. This is kind of the biggest push that we've seen for them with Austin since he's won King of the Ring. Yeah. At least it feels like it's been the most they've pushed him since he won King of the Ring, which is, of course, where we started this journey.
Yeah, that's one of the more surprising things about going back and starting where we started at King of the Ring. I seem to remember Austin being huge from the get-go, as soon as like we get the King of the Ring win the day after, it's Austin 316, and then we run with that train. But it's not been. We've seen him kind of almost float. We've seen him revisit the feud with Savio Vega. But now we're seeing him really get that push. He's now going up against a champion in the main event of this show. He gets the opening package. There's a couple of spots where he gets interview time and promotion time. Yeah, we're now 4 months on from King of the Ring finally getting that Austin 316 that we know and love, and we're getting all the mannerisms and all the memes of Austin. The Austin 316 says, "I just whoop your ass." All that stuff is really coming together, and it's going to really hopefully ramp up in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. And in the video package, they make allusions to the fact that Tanner's favorite man here, Shawn Michaels, the champ, looks beatable.
I mean, he's great. Shawn is great.
Of course he's great, but he looks beatable.
I've never owned a Shawn Michaels shirt like I've owned an Austin 316 shirt. I will definitely say that. But yeah, I mean, the promo talks about how Shawn is kind of, you know, he looks beatable. He looks vulnerable. I think maybe, I don't know if they, which word they use there, but, that Austin's coming in, he smells blood in the water is what they've said. And it's interesting what Mags noted here too, is, you know, we started this podcast with the intent of, hey, it's King of the Ring 1996. We're going to see Stone Cold win it. And then it's going to be like all fireworks from there. And that's kind of also a little bit of the story that WWE likes to tell a lot of the time. And it's interesting how there's now that vision and that almost Mandela effect or that revisionist history on WWE's part is like, oh yeah, Austin won King of the Ring and then he was a superstar from there.
Yeah, he was just catapulted.
Yeah, he won King of the Ring and then he fought Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 14. No, there's a whole 2 years between those points.
Yeah.
And This is the story that we're telling.
He was catapulted into superstardom, but that's like the slowest catapult ever.
He was slowly pushed up a hill like a broken down car that needed to be pushed back to Waco, Texas, because it needed repairing.
Yeah, he's on the ascent. That's for sure.
Yeah, but it was a really good package. It really made you kind of question, okay, how strong is Shawn Michaels? You know, it made Stone Cold look really good, and it was excited is a strong word, but it was interesting to see them start to build that hype. So the first match that we get out is Vader versus Phineas Godwin, but it was really hard to pay attention. The action wasn't so much in the match as it was on commentary, and I feel like that was kind of the story for the majority of this show. Because we get the announcement that Vince is returning to host Raw next week with King, that JR and Kevin Kelly have been assigned to other projects is what they we're told later on in the show. And
JR says, news to me, pal.
Right. And tells, like, I don't know if Kevin Dunn, executive producer, knows, but I don't work for him and I don't answer to him and I'll be at Raw next
VPs
week.
VPs don't answer to executive producers.
That's right. And so it's pretty crazy. The match in and of itself, I felt like, was a decent match. Vader kind of dominated through the majority of the first half of the match. And then Psycho Sid comes out with a distraction, and Phineas is able to gain a little bit of headway, but it doesn't really last very long. Vader blocks the slop drop by grabbing the ropes, and then from there it's just Vader beating the snot out of Phineas until he ultimately gets the win. Yeah, so
you've pretty much nailed the whole match. And again, with like you said, the whole show for me, I was on Jim Ross watch for this whole show because he was just dropping bomb after bomb after bomb. He was the saltiest that we've ever seen Jim Ross. He was pulling no punches to the point where it was taking away from the in-ring action for me because I wasn't concentrating. waiting to hear Jim Ross slag somebody else off. It's absolutely glorious. But yeah, it's a good little opener. Phineas Godwin gets that little bit of momentum in the middle of the match, but Vader comes off looking strong, going into buried alive. The interesting that Jim Cornette didn't come out with him to the ring, and we get the news that JR has stopped Cornette appearing on Livewire, and Kevin Kelly gives him grief about that and saying, according to Tom Pettengill, he was a big part in that. And JR saying Cornette volunteered to not be on the show, but also that Cornette's got a bit of a big mouth. I mean, how right is he in that? But he does end up coming out at the end to celebrate with Vader. But yeah, a cool little opener.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this match, Tanner?
It was fine. Like, kind of like Max pointed out, you know, it was the trend here is how distracting everything else around the matches are.
Right.
This whole entire show, really, if I'm being honest. But yeah, you got a little bit of a Phineas Godwin comeback, and yeah, it's cool for him. I mean, it feels like he's always on the cusp of something, and they were talking about how the Godwins picked up a pretty big win on a show previously. So, I mean, I'm hoping to see more from the Godwins in that matter, but it always seemed inevitable that Vader was going to, you know, find a way to pick up the victory here, especially going into a pay-per-view against Psycho Sid.
Yeah, and Phineas got some pretty good offensive moves on Vader, things that normally, because of Vader's size, you wouldn't think would happen. And so I think, you know, the match did what it needed to do. It put Vader over. It helped build more towards Vader and Sid. And I think Phineas still looked really good at the end of this match.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I don't think it took anything away. Just because of the offensive moves that he was able to accomplish on a 458-pound Vader, mm-hmm. you know.
That scoop slam he pulls off.
Right.
Really, really good, and the maneuvering to the slop drop was really unique, and a really unique way of Vader avoiding that slop drop by essentially gripping hold of the top rope and then going into the splash and the Vader bomb. Yeah, I thought this match was decent enough, a good little opener.
Absolutely. So let's keep it moving. The next thing we got is JR interviewing Mr. Perfect in the center of the ring. JR starts asking about, you know, how are you doing? You know, are you keeping in shape? What are you doing? Are you prepared? And Mr. Perfect's like, first of all, let me just say, there is only one Mr. Perfect, which kind of felt like, to me, him kind of slagging off what was going on with the Razor and Diesel issue. But
it absolutely makes sense.
It was kind of like he was slagging JR, but JR, like, he completely no sells it or doesn't catch it, the innuendo in there. But that's where my brain went, and talks about how perfect he is and how perfect his body is and how he's always ready. Do you ever see me looking any less than perfect? No, because I'm Mr. Perfect.
All these young kids with their floppy hair and their right. flippity floppity flues.
Their video games.
Yeah, their video games.
He didn't actually say that, but
yeah. No. But yeah, he's not worried about the new generation upstarts. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm. And so.
Yeah, and so a lot of the allusions to him being the one Mr. Perfect, and this was actually on commentary later in the night, was how they were making comparisons between Triple H and Mr. Perfect, and that's where you're getting like the, oh, there's only me as Mr. Perfect, there's only I'm Mr. Perfect, Triple H is not that guy.
Rick Bogner is not Mr. Perfect.
Right. Rick Bogner's Razor,
Glenn
too.
Glenn Jacobs is not Mr. Perfect.
Right. So that's, I mean, that's where the allusions were, too, is that people were saying, oh, well, Triple H is like Mr. Perfect now, and it's not really – that's what Mr. Perfect is saying here.
But I think for that comparison, it has more to do with the way the style in which the both of them wrestle. You know, yeah. There's been a lot of comparison there, but I think it's kind of fun that we can see both explanations being valid for that. You know, so maybe there was just a little bit of double entendre within that. Like, he meant this, but he also meant this, or,
yeah, I mean,
you know, or
so.
Could have. Yeah. And so it was an interesting, good little segment, vignette, promo deal.
Building to next week's big match.
Right. Between Hunter Hearst Helmsley, which is really a mouthful.
The Blue Blood, Mr. Yes. Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Mr. Perfect says he's in the best, he's in perfect shape, which that might be a bit of a stretch.
Round is a perfect shape.
Round is a, you only have so many perfect circles. Also, prior to the segment, we got a commercial for the Survivor Series and WWE Hall of Fame, which is interesting because we're, you know, here in this era that we live in now, we kind of mold those, you know, the Hall of Fame segment with WrestleMania. That's right. Part of WrestleMania weekend, and it's interesting to note that this was they were doing this during Survivor Series weekend in live in New York City.
Yes, and we also got an advert for the Big Bang Boom Tour.
I'm glad you brought this up.
It's
coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who comes up with these names?
Big Bang Boom Tour. So this what's fun is maybe not fun, but they splice in footage of atomic bomb testing with WWE wrestling. It's like massacres.
Very on the nose. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So, we got that ad. And then the match that we have been waiting months for.
I mean, since episode one of the show, essentially. Well, episode two, the Raw after King of the Ring.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this. Jerry the King Lawler versus Jake the Snake Roberts. King comes out before the commercial break. And then once we come back from the commercial break, apparently he's been talking and slagging him off the whole freaking time.
The commercial break, though, is for those amazingly spiffy
denim
shirts. Yeah, he doesn't want a $50 denim shirt with The Undertaker on the back.
Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart. You
the
know,
man, the myth, and the legend. And it's three different people for each one of those.
This is definitely a 90s commercial because it's because of the denim.
I put it to you, Tanner, you have one of those shirts.
I do not actually have a denim shirt. Believe it or not. I have a denim.
Texan.
I have a denim.
Texan.
I have a denim jacket. I have a denim jacket.
In your Texan card, sir.
I'll go get it. I'll go get my denim jacket.
I have a denim shirt and a denim jacket. He's literally going to
get
it.
He's left the recording to go get his denim jacket.
Wow.
He's actually got his... So, didn't even mute his mic, which is brilliant.
Look,
here he comes.
And there he is. There he is. Let's see it.
It's in the wash.
Yeah, this is a denim bomber jacket right here.
Oh, with the faux Sherpa fuzzy lining. That's very Texas, honestly.
This is very Texas.
So I've got, that needs a bolo tie.
maybe so.
Maybe a 10-gallon hat.
Yeah, that's my jacket. So I've got that. I don't have a denim shirt, but I definitely have that.
Does it have the Undertaker on the back? No. Blazoned on the back. Oh,
we could take it to the mall and get it airbrushed for him.
Yeah, we could for $50 plus $8 shipping.
No, I'm good. Thanks. I appreciate the offer.
No, we'd have to put it's Tanner. We got to put Shawn Michaels on it.
You act like Shawn Michaels is my favorite guy.
You've talked like he is.
He's great.
The entirety
he's amazing.
Of recordings.
He's amazing, but he's not my all-time favorite. He's amazing, though. I will say that. Okay. I'll stick up for any wrestler from Texas. Most wrestlers from Texas.
Okay.
Dustin Rhodes, I throw that out to you.
We get this match. I'm not going there, y'all.
Hashtag keep stepping.
Friend of the show, friend of the stars. Friend.
Are we going to cover this match?
Friend to the homeless.
Friend to the homeless?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling?
Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we get back from commercial break, and King has been talking crap about Jake the Snake the entirety of the time. King and Kevin, not King, JR and Kevin Kelly are continuously talking over him. We can't really hear much of what he's saying here and there.
No, it's worse. King's music is playing, JR is talking, and so is King on all different channels. And it's like, I can't hear anything.
There were so many in the closed captioning. There was so much... in parentheses, inaudible.
So Mags's JR watch caught that JR was slating Jerry as he ran down Jake Roberts, and he said that in 20 years of commentary, King has not analysed a hole in wrestling, and that a guy called Vince, who doesn't know the names of the holds, will be on the show, and he'll end up carrying the whole darn broadcast. So yeah, and then he throws in a football reference for good measure.
Yeah. He talked about is this the reference where that's later. He talks about another football reference later in the
show.
My
God, that football team came back from 45-0 down.
45-0.
That's really, a city game.
Whatever was happening was so bad that even JR was checked out. But King is yelling last call, trying to get Jake out to the ring. Mm-hmm. Jake finally comes out, and not only does he have the bag with the snake, but he has a fifth of alcohol wrapped in a brown bag. Mm-hmm. He looks very disheveled. He looks like he's stumbling a little bit, and King's like, look at him, he's drunk already. Mm-hmm. And before the match can even start, Gorilla Monsoon comes in to interfere. Mm-hmm. And because we didn't see this on camera, what we saw was the referee, Gorilla Monsoon, and Jake having a little meeting of the minds. And
a wink. Jake's like, no, no, Gorilla, like, nope. I'm fine. I'm going to fuck this bastard up.
Right. And commentary is saying he's fine, but King is apparently not paying attention to any of this.
Yeah, unbeknownst to King somehow.
Oddly, I kind of figured that's what was going to happen anyway, but I would have rathered have not seen it. Mm-hmm. I would rather have there been a surprise. Maybe Jake pulls Gorilla to the side, whispers in his ear, no, I'm not, you know, have us have no clue as to what's going on.
Yeah.
And that Monsoon allows the match, and then have it turn out the way it did.
Yeah, and WWF actually doubled down on spoiling this angle, because Jim Ross says on commentary, I don't think he's really drunk. I think this is all a ruse. And you're like, Jim, We get it. Up. We get that it's a ruse. you don't have to shovel it down our throats. But I've hated this angle from day one.
Right.
But this was probably the best way they could finish it, making Jerry Lawler look like an absolute clown.
I mean, because Jake hits the DDT and it's a 1-2-3, it's done.
Yeah.
And we get the line of the show. Kevin Kelly shouting at the top of his lungs, Jake Roberts is not drunk.
True.
It's just awesome. Absolutely awesome.
And then Jake goes on to pour the very, what looks to be a cheap whiskey in a plastic
or vodka
bottle.
It was clear, so I was guessing it was vodka or maybe clear tequila. It's something cheap.
Who knows?
Jake probably drunk the actual whiskey and then topped it back up afterwards.
There you go. He poured it over
the
king.
Sorry, Jake. I apologize.
All of a sudden, Mags has turned into Jerry
I'm
Lawler.
I'm Jerry Lawler now.
Like, really? Well, what's in your cup you're sipping over there and gargling, Mags? Huh?
I've become everything I detest.
There you go. You're a monster.
Play the hero long enough to see yourself as the villain.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever been the hero, to be fair.
I was trying to give you a little credit, buddy.
But if you want to see Jake stumble out to the ring for real, you can catch it in 3 years' time on Heroes of Wrestling, which is a heck of a lot of fun.
which you covered on Headlock Talk.
Yeah, you can watch that happen for realsies. And boy howdy. No, but this is a feel good moment here for Jake as he, like I said, pours the liquor over King and then wraps him dangerously with an anaconda over his neck.
Revelations the anaconda as well.
Yeah.
Which it's always funny to me because I've watched the documentary that Steve Yu and Diamond Dallas Page did on Jake's recovery and helping him out and whatnot.
The resurrection.
Yeah. And I've heard, you know, stories about Jake living with DDP, and that man's scared of snakes. Yeah. And it's funny to me now to kind of see Jake confidently taking this snake out of the bag and wrapping it around people and stuff, knowing that he's afraid of snakes. And so I just find that a little chuckle worthy to me.
He's a bit hard on the snake too. Like, you forcefully wrapped that snake around.
Right. But he was doing a good job of controlling the head. I mean, that's the type of snake that
it's a gripper.
It's a squeezer. It's not a poison striking snake.
Right. Right.
You know,
but you still wouldn't want a big bite from it.
What?
No,
that, or, you know, I mean, like that's really rough on the animal, you know? Like that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, oh God, like fuck.
PETA would not approve.
No.
Surprised they weren't up in arms at this point.
You would not see that again on today's Raw.
Mm-hmm. No. So then we've got more of the real Double J. Jesse James.
Jim Johnston.
And Jim Johnston, the other Double J. More of that interview and how
they are drip feeding us this bullshit, aren't they? They're really drip feeding us.
And they're just giving it to us in these little bitty blocks, and they're saying the same thing over and over again. You know, Jarrett plucked him out of obscurity and promised to take him to the moon. No, that's where my head was this whole segment. You know, he was going to pluck him out of obscurity.
He plucked me out of that bar out of the middle of nowhere, and he left me nowhere.
Yeah, you know,
bright lights and big city.
He took me from nowhere and
to the unemployment.
Nowhere.
And so, and then next week, we're going to get even more of this drivel force-fed to us, as well as apparently Jesse James was an active soldier in Desert Storm, and he's going to talk about that. So just building that sob story.
We must also make note that Jim Johnston is helping Jesse James record an album, and he's excited to show the world all the versatility that Jesse James can provide. One note here of Jesse James is actually re-recording With My Baby Tonight,
Because he didn't actually sing it.
Which begs the question, if he sung the original, why does he have to re-record this one?
Right?
So, yeah.
It's really weird. So then we move on to the next match. Freddie Joe Floyd versus Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Kevin Kelly, that's when he informs us that him and JR have been reassigned. They don't know to what. JR is telling him, don't you live in Connecticut? Well, I would rent if I were you. How does your wife feel about all this? And Kevin's like, well, she's concerned. Like, they were really good.
JR was brilliant in this.
He was really going in on this, you know, and continues to talk about the unsanctioned match between Undertaker and Mankind, and that Vince is greedy, you know, basically it's unsanctioned because the match is not insured and he just wants the money. And well, I mean, of course he does, he's Vince McMahon, but that's neither here nor there, you know. And it was a somewhat decent match overall, but this whole first half, probably 3/4 of this show, is just really overshadowed by commentary. Mm-hmm. Really and truly. And what's going on with commentary is really more interesting than what's going on screen and in the match. It's really kind of strange. But Freddie Joe Floyd is out first, then followed by Hunter Hearst Helmsley and yet another beautiful lady. And in order to attempt Mr. Perfect from stealing her, he handcuffs her to the ring ropes.
It was a different time in 1996. If you wanted to keep your woman, you had to handcuff her to an immovable object so no man could swoop in and steal her from underneath her. Oh, God.
Those are the rules, you know.
And she didn't seem too excited about this, to which I would say, Mr. Helmsley, consent is key, okay? Mm.
Yeah, but consent keys also opens the handcuffs.
That's right, because eventually Mr. Perfect does come out. He sees what's going on and magically appears with a key that he turns around and gives to the security guard behind him, unlocks her, gets out.
The security guard is on his payroll.
Right, yeah. And Hunter Hearst Helmsley, of course, gives chase, goes after Mr. Perfect, who turns around and lands a perfect punch, knocking Triple H off of his feet, which allows Freddie Joe Floyd to get the win on a countout.
Which should be a DQ.
That annoyed me straight away. If the referees there stood, I mean, usually referees are stood looking at the person who's out and giving him the animated 10 count. If he saw Mr. Perfect clock Triple H, he should have then disqualified Freddie Joe Floyd. But no, he carries on counting. It's ridiculous, but it furthers the story, and we're going to get that amazing match of the Mr. Perfect and the Mr. Perfect 2.0 next week. Wink, wink.
But I mean, the count out happened very close. I mean, by the it was like maybe a second or two after Perfect hit him.
So the ref was committed. I'll ignore that for now. I'll go 9-10.
I mean, they were practically at the entrance ramp. It wasn't like it was right by ringside. So I could somewhat justify it. Perfect wasn't on the ring apron. He wasn't ringside. They were far enough away that it really didn't affect the match in either Freddie Joe Floyd or Triple H's favor. You know, He was that far away. He may as well have been walking backstage anyway. So I think the count out works better. I think the count out works out better. So
JR also makes note at the beginning of the match that the Oklahoma Sooners beat the Texas Longhorns the previous weekend.
Yes, they did.
And he can fuck right off, I think.
He also, when Kevin Kelly was mentioning about that they won't be on the show, he says, I don't know who you're talking about. Have you got a mask in your pocket, Tonto? And then when he gets to the part about living in Connecticut, he says to Kevin Kelly, because Kevin says something about being worried for his job. Does JR think he's going to be safe in his job? And JR says, sure, wink, wink, but don't hire any real estate agents. He says, if you're still in Connecticut, keep renting. but you'll be fine when you are in Zimbabwe or any of those other third world countries doing voiceover work.
Good Lord. Oh, he was
a salty ass bitch. It was brutal.
He was saltier than his barbecue sauce.
Or his ranch dressing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Let's not go there. Oh, jeez. So moving right along, we get another video package, this time interviewing directly or speaking directly from Stone Cold Steve Austin, mm-hmm. who calls out Bret Hart and says, basically, since you were so cowardly as to not face me in Philadelphia, then I'll beat the man who beat you, mm-hmm. saying he's going to beat Shawn Michaels for him. And so
that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Mm-hmm. There you have it. Because Stone Cold 316 said, I'll just whoop your ass.
Yes, we're getting there. We're getting those Austin catchphrases, and it's amazing. I love it.
Yep. And then we had another Mr. Perfect video package to hype up the match between him and Hunter Hearst Helmsley on Monday for Raw. And then Sonny comes out.
Yeah.
And drops a new photo from the ceiling and then goes right to commentary.
The hottest thing in the world today, me.
Right. Which, I mean, she's not wrong. Sonny was kind of the hottest thing going at the time.
And then J.R. Watch says, Sonny makes Pamela Anderson look like a Harvard graduate.
Oh.
And then she joins commentary.
Yes, then she joins commentary. We got our first of two video packages for the Mankind Undertaker match, the Buried Alive match. This one from Paul Bearer and Mankind. Mankind says he's had a vision. And this was some genius promo work from Mankind. I mean, Mick Foley is like, I don't know if he was coming up with his stuff, if he had some help, but this whole promo was just, I'm looking for a friendly face and all I see is contempt.
Mm-hmm. And then he says, Undertaker will be looking into the eyes of Mankind for mercy and all he'll get is his lungs filling up with cold soil. Oh, great promo.
It was really mm-hmm. good with, you know, in the random interjections of Paul Bearer's. Oh, yeah.
It's not my fault, Undertaker. It's not Mankind's fault. It's yours. This is all your fucking fault. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Well, then we go back to the ring and we see Alex the Pug Porto has entered the ring and he's going to be facing Farouk. And JR finally says, as this match gets underway, everything that we've all been saying about Farouk's headgear being absolutely embarrassing, and it's all Vince McMahon's fault.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting quip from JR because it really is him touching a really close nerve. And I know we've talked about all episode about how salty and animated JR has been, but like, this is really one of those sharp critiques that I feel kind of helps WWE at this time. And hopefully at some point realizing we need to get out of the late 80s and actually jump into some modern kind of sensibilities here. Because Farouk wearing a helmet doesn't make sense. It's not cool. It doesn't look cool. It looks lame.
It made as much sense to do it then as it does now to have Karrion Kross wear a helmet. It's stupid.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at least Karrion Kross's gear looked like up to date. Like, you know, I mean, Farouk looked like he was about to star in Conan the Barbarian,
or he's going to be on American Gladiators.
Yeah, it looked dumb. And JR notes about how he was a great collegiate football player,
three-time All-American,
Heisman nominee. Like he's talking about like all of Ron Simmons. You know how important Ron Simmons is as a professional athlete, and how stupid it is that he looks the way that he does. And I thought that was a very poignant remark here by JR. The match itself is kind of just there. It doesn't
I mean, really... that's been the theme for all of the matches, though. the matches have really played second fiddle to what's been the story building that we've got in commentary and in the promos. The match, this was definitely a go home show of the mid 90s, where the matches had no consequence whatsoever. It was just whatever we can do to get to the pay-per-view.
Right. And I feel like the match was there more for the sake of, you know, we had Livewire that we've talked about before happened the previous weekend, and they had Ahmed Johnson on Livewire, and Farooq called in with Sunny oddly lurking behind him like she's minding her own business, but isn't. And there was a lot of exchange back and forth between Farooq and Ahmed Johnson. Hey, how's your other kidney? I hope it's good. You know, we were both raised in the streets. Tell me where it, send me your address. I'll come to your house right now.
Which, for me, that whole part where they were talking about that being in the streets and they both are products of poor neighborhoods, that to me rubber stamps exactly what Tanner was saying about Farooq wearing this ridiculous gladiator setup. Farooq's character was, he was a thug from the streets. No one with any respect in the ghetto would wear that ridiculous tinfoil helmet. It's as simple as that.
No, you'd be laughed straight out of it. You'd be laughed right back out of the ghetto. I mean, and they go on more and more. Like, you know, Ahmed tries to give Farooq
I'll meet
props.
You at your fucking house.
Yeah.
Well, no, but he
tell
actually
me where you live, bitch.
Well, but before it got to that, it was, you were all these things, and Farooq is interjecting his own accolades and whatnot. Yeah. And he's like, I'll give you your due. You know, you're a great athlete and competitor. But, you know,
when
then
I see
they go
you,
into,
it's on site.
Right. And they even go into this whole thing like, oh, how could you do that to a brother and racism? And he's like, I don't care if you clear. Once we're in that ring, it's on.
That was a brilliant line.
Like, look, I know I'm pretty pasty and white, but I don't know that I've ever seen somebody who's clear. Like, that's just crazy.
Well, this is very much an as close to an attitude era promo that we've gotten so far. I mean, even with all due respect to the Austin promos that we've gotten previously, even on this episode of Raw, it's always catchphrases. Austin's giving catchphrases, and he's trying to find a way to work that in with his character, and it feels rather forced at times. This feels like it was done from the heart on both sides of Ahmed Johnson and Farooq, and that really just makes me want to see that matchup happen even more.
Yes,
right.
Correct.
So this was actually brilliant. I'm glad that they added this in.
Right, because I feel like we haven't really seen. We haven't had the regular updates and information or seen anything about Ahmed Johnson in a couple of weeks. And it kind of goes back to what I had said previously when we were being force fed so much of it right after his injury that, you know, let it simmer, you know, put it to the side for a little bit. And I'm glad that they showed this video from Livewire because, you know, Raw's the big show. That's what everybody's going to catch. Not everybody's going to catch Livewire. And so this put me right back into being interested in the Ahmed Johnson Farooq matchup. And so I am completely ready for that. We're not done, Tanner. It's too early to wave. Hang on.
I'm waving at my dog. My dog's looking at me.
Is it Jeffro the dog?
Oh, man. I mean, I might have a knock at the door here soon, so it might be my delivery, you know.
Okay, Jeffro, he's definitely Jeffro.
Jeffro took a plane.
Oh, jeez. So then we get to actually the best match on the card, in my opinion.
Whoa, Mom, slow your roll.
What?
You're missing out the Undertaker promo. I mean, we see Austin walk out.
Let's go back. You know, Farooq ends up getting the win on the pug. So that's the end of that. We get announced Sean Paul.
So Kevin Kelly calls the Dominator the Tiger Bat, which is a horrific name for the finishing move.
Yeah.
That's almost as bad as Bearcat.
Is that because, well, Bearcat has a historical reference point.
We'll have to talk about that later because I was like, what?
Bearcat Wright was a famous African-American professional
wrestler who changed the
game of professional wrestling for African-American athletes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I have been informed. I stand corrected.
Yes.
Just like, you know, at halftime on Deckers.
I also have a stuffed animal named
Glad
Bearcat,
to be wrong.
And Bearcat's cool, so.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. So yeah, we did get the second half of those video packages. This one from Taker. It stopped raining. The
storm is coming.
Yeah, the storm is coming. The grave has been dug.
He's going to use his purple fist to be the judge, jury, and executioner. If he has to end himself, he will do to take mankind down, and he urges mankind to essentially imagine his last breaths and then imagine not resting in peace.
Purple fist.
That's all the takeaway that I got from that promo.
I will say this is not one of Taker's best promos. If you had to put this one and the Mankind one up against each other, Mankind killed that one.
Yeah. Hot take here, but I'm so tired of that, of these promos between the two of them in the graveyard. I have the Monty
Python.
It's
only been 2 weeks.
I know, but
and that's
I have
2 weeks
a,
too much.
Yeah, I have the Monty Python get on with it kind of feeling every time they cut to the graveyard. And I think it's been 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, that they keep panning to the graveyard. And it's like, why don't you have some kind of other
match?
Yeah, promotion, confrontation, something. Because this graveyard here, I know it's a cool visual, but yeah.
And not only that, they're not going to be having the match in a graveyard. They are going to be reconstructing a graveyard within the arena for the match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just for the purpose of the match.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be more enticing to sell a pay-per-view by having a confrontation in the ring between the two of them, even if it was just for a split second?
Yes. That makes sense, but you know that they've recorded all of these promos in one sitting, and that's why Undertaker, he didn't have to record his in the rain, because it stopped raining by the time it was his turn to record.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, they're still recording in blocks for Raw, because they're still in Hershey.
Yep.
So, which is home of Hershey Chocolate Factory, by the way, because I did listen to that episode left you guys.
You can tell that this was the last of the block, because there was a lot of empty seats over the past few episodes. This has been an excited, energized crowd. This crowd wasn't that excited and wasn't that energized. I mean, these have had to sit through the reveal of Razor and Diesel, so no wonder they left halfway through the recording block.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah, and I'm going, that's me done. I'm going, beating the traffic.
I'm going to Nitro. Thank you very much.
Oh. So, but yeah, Hershey Chocolate is done in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Matter of fact, I have been to Hershey Park. There's a large theme park there. My dad lives 20, 30 minutes. It is not made of chocolate but it heavily features chocolate. It has one of the world's oldest wooden roller coasters there, which I've ridden. It gives me a large headache.
Well, made of wood.
Made of wood.
Made of wood of
and very,
chocolate.
I don't care for it.
A town close to me has one of the oldest wooden roller coasters as well, Blackpool.
I've heard of that.
Good old Blackpool.
Yeah, it's the worst place ever. It's horrible. It's not the Vegas of the North as they try to claim it is.
Well, it's because you have a casino. You have a giant casino in Blackpool, don't you?
It's not giant compared to the ones on the Vegas Strip, but it's big for the UK.
Right, right. Like it's largest casino that's in in Blackpool.
It's just chavvy. It's a chavvy, scumbaggy town. Whenever there's any warm weather,
Vegas, but questionable at
half
best.
The country goes to Blackpool, and it's horrific.
All right, glad I missed that when I was over there. All right. So, yeah, we get the video package, and then they announced the match before we got that video package. But then we finally get Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels to the ring. We get Vader and Cornette watching backstage, and Cornette says they're going to go through Sid so that they can get back to Michaels.
Watching like this, though.
Well, that's how you have to watch as wrestlers.
It's annoying. Yeah, it's so annoying.
You got to cheat to the camera.
Yeah.
So that they can see that you're watching.
Yeah. And all Vader does is grunts. He's like,
nope, not going there.
He had to straighten something out, it seems. So I know that you made note that this was like the best match on the card. And I guess on paper, it should be the best match on the card. But by God, this
okay, so then what match was better?
They were all on an even playing field. There's so many distractions here in this match. I was so disappointed.
What? Yeah.
I agree with him. Because this was built up to be a huge match. It was Austin, who was the up-and-coming wrestler. Shawn Michaels, who was the champion. And we got rug pulled.
The most anticipated match of Austin's
they
career.
They built it like that as well.
You got to see Austin outsmarting Michaels in some parts and then Michaels outsmarting Austin. That was pretty cool. That was a nice little exchange. But if you got into this thinking, I'm going to see basically WrestleMania 14 before it even happened, you are going to be supremely disappointed.
No, and like, I'm not saying, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, amazing.
Of course.
But it the way it went down is about how I expected it to go down. Despite the fact that at the top of the show, they did a whole video package about this match saying that Shawn Michaels looks beatable. He's your champion. He still has to go through whoever he's going against in your house. I don't even remember at this point.
On the cop.
No, for sure.
Exactly. So they're not going to put Michaels over. They're too busy building up. They've built up Stone Cold Steve Austin in this hour of television more than they have in the last 4 months. So they're not going to have him lose either.
Right. My problem comes from this. We did this video package for Austin. We talked about how important this is going to be. We've had multiple promos about this video, about this match taking place tonight. And yet, within 30 seconds of the match starting, we're already doing a split screen promo with Jim Cornette and Vader, and then another split screen with Sid. That's not telling me that this is important. This is telling me that you could watch this. This doesn't matter.
I don't disagree with that. But it's the shenanigans at the end. Like Jim Cornette and Vader, they could have shortened if all they did was just show them backstage watching it. I would have been perfectly fine with that. Same with Sid, you know. And Sid was fairly his promo from the split screen was fairly short, so I could have left with that as well.
Because he talks about Vader's comments. Vader didn't make any comments. Vader huffed and puffed. It was all corny comments.
Apparently Sid can understand grunts. I don't know.
they share a tribal wavelength.
To play devil's advocate, I understand Ori's point. Was to lead to the two matches.
Jethro the dogs at the door.
But it was a rug pull. This was WWF, which they end up doing time and time again, promises of one thing and then not delivering. It will keep me interested for the pay-per-view, but I would have preferred to see at least more action between the two wrestlers before we got the whole shenanigans. And all the shenanigans was just a massive clusterfuck. I mean, were Razor and Diesel coming out?
Yeah.
We got the Savio Vega comes out, gets stunned, and then does nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. I think that was just, by the way, we're going to see this match at the pay-per-view for the fifth time. There were the interesting stuff with Sid and Shawn and Vader and that tension there. That stuff was cool, but the rest of it was just, fodder.
Well, we've been informed by on a few things tonight that Farouk's having an Intercontinental title match. I think we got informed that he was having an Intercontinental match at the pay-per-view, which that's news to me. And then another piece of news that Savio Vega would be challenging Stone Cold Steve Austin at the pay-per-view. Again, this is the lead-in to the pay-per-view, and we're learning about these things very last minute, it seems.
I mean, recent WWE, they don't even tell you that. You find out when you tune into the pay-per-view.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, this is my thing, okay? I expected this match to go pretty much how it did. And because they have built Stone Cold the way that they have just within this one show, if nothing else, it builds the anticipation for the run back between Stone Cold and Michaels, because you know Stone Cold's going to want that match. He's going to push for that match to happen. You know, what happened was absolute bullshit. You know, I want my match. And so, you know, and I could even see the argument being made for, you know, hey, let's make it a title match this time, you know. You're so involved in your drama that you didn't give me the respect and the attention that I deserve. And so now I want a shot at the title. You know, I mean, I know that the whole point of this match is to build for Buried Alive.
Right.
I don't think it really did that as much as they wanted it to, but it left me wanting more of Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, and I think that that's what you would want, right? Is to have more of Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels, and I completely get your point about, you know, hey, if this is logical booking, then you would expect to see Stone Cold wanting to challenge Shawn Michaels again in the very near future. I think that the difference here is this is 1996 Raw, and Stone Cold is hung up about wanting to face Bret Hart, and Shawn is going to be tied up with whatever outcome Vader and Sid are going to have. So that's your outlook here, and, you know, for the very near future is that Stone Cold still, you know, has something in his craw about Bret Hart. We're going to see that carry, you know, quite a bit of ways here. And Shawn Michaels is going to have to deal with again, Sid or Vader, and that's been going on for a while now too, it seems.
To me, in my mind, adding Shawn Michaels into this makes sense in the fact that Stone Cold is trying to antagonize Bret Hart into coming back. Like, maybe if I beat the guy that beat you, maybe you'll come back so that I can whip your ass. Right. You know. And right. So I see where it fits in, but it almost goes back to the earlier storyline with Mankind, Paul Bearer, Undertaker, Gold Dust, where there's too many chiefs, you know, not enough Indians. There's too much going on in there. There's too many
cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, way too many variables trying to tie everything together, and so it's ending up more of a clusterfuck, in not a good way, and so. You know, I wasn't disappointed with the ending. I don't know that I'm overwhelmingly excited about Buried Alive at this point, but
it is
kind of did
one of those,
what it needed to do, but not really.
Right. It's kind of one of those cliffhanger endings where you've got Austin having to deal with Savio Vega, and yet he's also trying to put one over on Shawn Michaels. Psycho Sid comes to the ring, and then there's a little bit of tension because Shawn Michaels gets Irish whipped into Sid, and then they have a bit of a standoff and misunderstanding. And then they end up clearing the ring of the heels as fake Diesel and fake Razor stand at the entrance ramp. And it's like, what?
It's like, too much. Yeah. It's right. Too much.
It's so much thrown in. And Orin said about not being excited for Buried Alive. It would be cool if we got payoff to a lot of these things, but I don't know if you guys, I mean, Tanner may remember Buried Alive, but probably doesn't, but we don't get that payoff because Stone Cold doesn't face Savio Vega. Farouk doesn't get a title match against Mark Miro. These storylines just don't end. They don't happen. We get Mark Miro taking on Goldust, and Stone Cold takes on Triple H.
WWE revisionist history. Yeah,
so we get the old switcheroos of stories, of matches on the pay-per-view that have no leading whatsoever. So this was certainly in a period where WWF were clutching at straws, still with one foot in the 80s, but trying to be more kind of 90s and more like energetic,
slightly
and not
modernized. Yeah,
yeah. Thankfully, the show's not bad in terms of action, but in terms of getting finality on storylines that we've had to watch weeks and weeks of Raw to get to. Yeah. It ain't happening. We ain't getting that.
No. And honestly, knowing what I know now of watching WWF, WWE for the last on and off 20 some odd years, I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm really not. Like, I want to be, but I'm just...
We do get a cool debut at Buried Alive, though. If I remember rightly, I'm sure that's when Stone Cold gets his Glass Smash theme music.
Oh. So, we shall see.
There is that to look forward to. That one. Dish. Da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. That's it. And then the rest of the show.
Yeah. It's supposed to be fun. No title match being hyped up for Buried Alive either, and I don't think we get one. So
no, we get the Intercontinental title, and I think the tag titles may be on the line. But Shawn Michaels does wrestle on the card, but it's a dark match.
Yes,
that's
against
wild.
Goldust. Against Goldust, who also faces Mark Miro. So Goldust in one show gets shots at the RC and the WWF title.
What did he ever do to deserve that?
He kept stepping. That's what he did.
He kept stepping on the homeless.
Oh, jeez.
let's go home.
Just never let him.
Before Tanner gets us a cease and desist order.
I swear.
From the natural Dustin Rhodes.
I feel like we need that same little disclaimer banner that y'all get for Radio Techers for Tanner. The views expressed by Tanner are not the views of all of Radio Techers. He's on his own.
At me, bitches.
Since we are wrapping things up, what is that at, Tanner?
Yeah, you can at me at the Mad Attack UK, where you can leave all complaints and whether it's your chips being too soggy or
the fact digestives do absolutely nothing for digestion.
Yeah, if you feel if you feel like your digestive isn't working, then that's something. No, you can find me on Twitter at Texas Gentleman _, or you can also hit me up on Twitter at Radio Techers, which is our kind of our media channel for YouTube and Twitch, where myself, Mags, and Matt, we do football coverage. But again, it's a whole combination of things, because we've got Chris, who is our senior field executive field analyst. We've got Conrad, who's bringing content here, and he's going to be providing new content for like short form stuff, along with the Game of Two Halves series that he's working on. Ori, you're obviously a part of it. You're gonna be participating in some nice Premier League football action as you
excited.
Join us. I'm very excited as well. Ray has been getting in on the football action, and so yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We cover not only Premier League football and Champions League football, but we also cover wrestling and MMA as well. So yeah, you get a whole boatload of good stuff over on Radio Techers.
And then we have shortly, we're having a rewind look at Quantum Leap.
Yes.
The good old show Quantum Leap with Psy, I believe.
Psy, the effing delinquent for lacking cream soda.
Oh,
Psy and Benny.
And that's, remind me of the name of that show, because I'm blanking completely.
The Waiting Room.
The Waiting Room, that's right. And that'll be here on Radio Techers, so everybody check that out. And Mags, where can we find you? What do you have on the hot plate coming out?
So if you have any issues with me, you can tweet them to me at TexasGentleman_, and I won't give a shit if you message me because I hate you all and keep stepping. You can follow me on Twitter at PodfatherMags. I am heavily involved here at Chairshot on with Ray on Midweek Mainstay and with Fire Rounds, but I'm also a huge part of Radio Techers on probably more shows than I should be, according to one of my core members there. I do the football coverage with Tanner and Matt, and then next week with Aura. I also am involved in some of the short form football stuff, as well as the MMA and the wrestling content that we have over there with Five Rounds and with our wrestling coverage. So definitely come and give us a like, a subscription, come and join in the fun. It's always, Ori will attest how much fun we have in the chat during games. We literally talk about anything but the football. And join him.
I mean, we talked a lot of football during the city.
We actually did. This was the most football-heavy episode that we've ever done.
It's great.
And then, of course, with the delinquent side, you also have chain wrestling here on Radio Techers.
Yeah, I try and not talk about that because Sai's won the last four polls, and I'm not best pleased about that.
Oh.
But yeah, chain wrestling, it's a great way to end the weekend for me. I'm really busy in terms of content at weekends, and that is like a really kind of fun come down where we have a lot of excitement in the chat. And then once we've got through the non-wrestling topic, everybody kind of like just beds in and grabs a cup of cocoa and a comfy pillow. And we have a chat about wrestling, and it's a great time. I really, really, really enjoy doing that show.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You guys make a lot of great content. And while I may be the draw, you guys are definitely putting in the work.
We're the filler.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. So as for myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram at Ori the Draw. I have, of course, this here on Chair Shot with A Change in Attitude and
Radio
Tech.
You've got some big news coming up.
Yes.
Got some incredibly big news coming up.
Coming up this Friday, October the 8th, I will be interviewing the one and only Kevin Kelly. And we're going to be giving some double coverage to that, both on Radio Techers and on Chairshot Radio. We're going to be putting the audio version available on Chairshot. It'll be a special episode of A Change in Attitude covering that. And then the audio and visual version will be here on the Radio Techers channel. We'll probably, those will drop the same day.
Simulcast.
Yeah, it will not be a live conversation. It will be recorded, but they will drop it at the same time at our normal time slot over on the Chair Shot on Monday evenings. Mm-hmm. And then might have something else in the works. And
always making these moves to provide amazing content for us. We are basking in her glory.
You're ridiculous. And so for the team, you can always find us over on Twitter at A Change in Attitude Podcast. Or you can always drop us an email, your thoughts, your comments at A Change in Attitude Podcast at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And so feel free to send us those emails. And I know, isn't it Survivor Series right around the corner? Isn't that right after In Your House, Buried Alive?
Yes,
certainly is.
So
I mean, we got hyped for the Survivor Series on this very show.
That's right. And so we may actually have a Radio Techers watch along in preparation for that show. So if you are not following us on Twitter, please do so. So you can come join the chat.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So any final thoughts, any final promos, anything we forgot, left out?
I think we covered the gamut of this show. This, I think, as we've all said, this was heavily a commentary-based show and a promo-based show. The wrestling was pretty irrelevant, apart from the rug pull match at the end. But it did give us a teaser of what we're going to get in the future. And there were certainly bits that excited you for Buried Alive. So definitely tune in next week for that episode.
Yep. Yeah. So for myself, Tanner, and Mags, thank you for joining us here on A Change in Attitude on Chairshot Radio, your home of sports entertainment and sports entertainment. And always remember to use your head.
Kablam!
Tanner, are you going to wave again? He's waving his drink. Well done, sir.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye
to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.